Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ken Pomeroy from KenPom.com and The Athletic. Ken, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic, fellas. It's a wonderful time of year.
It certainly is. And Ken, I wanted to start with this. We were talking about North Carolina Central earlier, who won the MEAC championship with an 18-15 record. I know teams have had worse records because there has been teams under 500 that have made the tourney. In your rankings, though, they are number 303 out of 353 teams. Is that the lowest ranked team that's ever made the tournament?
I'm pretty sure it's not. There's okay. Definitely been a weird champion like out of the MEAC or the SWAC in the past. Like North Carolina Central is like the three seed out of that conference. So
okay.
There's been a time where like the five or six seed wins it and they're like 320 or something. So it's close. It's probably like second or third, but I don't think it's the lowest.
Ken, as you look at your rankings here, I mean, out of your top 10, for example, like how many of these teams do you think realistically have a shot to win the national championship?
I'd go seven deep.
Seven?
I'd go seven deep. Yeah. So, you know, it's Virginia, Gonzaga, Duke, Michigan State, Michigan, North Carolina, Kentucky. Tennessee's eighth. Like, I mean, obviously Tennessee has a realistic shot. You got to draw a line somewhere. So maybe it's eight.
If they stop turning the ball over.
Yeah, no question. I mean, your last memory of them is getting shellacked by Auburn, and that's not a great memory, so it's kind of hard to pull the trigger on them. But, you know, you look at their body of work over the full season, and, it's certainly been excellent. I just don't think it's been quite at the level of those other seven teams.
Ken, I was, as a kid, a diehard St. John's fan, Chris Mullin years, when they went to the tournament all the time. And I'm still a fan, but not as into it as I used to be because they haven't been as good in recent years. I didn't think they deserved to get in the tournament because they were so bad down the stretch. Do they belong?
No, they did not belong. I really think, like, if we had used any other system to select our teams than the one we currently use, they would not have been in. They benefited from, like, the kind of the shortcut of using the quads. Like, Villanova and Marquette were both ranked between 25 and 30 in the net ranking, and that's, like, 30 is the cutoff for a quad one win for a home game. So, you know, if those two teams had dropped to 31 and 32, like, St. John's has two less quad one wins and they almost surely don't get in. And really the difference between 28 and 32 is like not significant, but because like this is the system we use and that's the shortcut we use, like they got the benefit of that. And it really helped them in this case.
So who should be in over them? Clemson?
Yeah. I mean, you look at my ratings, like Clemson was the best team left out. I think by resume standards, you know, it'd either be a TCU or a UNC Greensboro. I mean, those are probably the two teams that would be my first choices.
Ken Pomeroy's with us, KenPom.com, also The Athletic. Ken, in your rankings of Duke, do you factor in Zion in versus Zion out, or how do you factor that all out? I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's no factoring of injuries.
Okay.
It's really difficult. People wonder, you know, can you do that? Like, why don't you do that? And you can take a stab at that. The hard part is, like, the easy part is when they're out. Like, okay, I can correct the ratings when they're out, but
sure.
I don't know. I can't track 353 teams and when everybody is coming back from injury or when coaches say, you know, they might play tonight or not play tonight. And that just makes it pretty unwieldy. So I think in the interest of transparency, it's like, hey, yeah, he missed, six and a half games, basically. Take that into consideration. Also take into consideration that Duke basically, you know, their goal from day one is to win a national title. And they will have a little more urgency now in the NCAA tournament than they might have had during the regular season. They're certainly going to shorten their bench. You know, guys like Alex O'Connell and Jordan Goldwire aren't going to get a lot of minutes in these games. You know, the big four are going to get most of the minutes. And so that's also a factor as well that I think underrates Duke's rating, which is based on their regular season performance.
How big of a difference maker is he, Zion, as compared to like some of the other top players in past years?
Yeah, I mean, he's up there. part of the reason he's up there is because Duke is so thin. Like, they really don't have a viable backup behind him. So the drop-off is huge when he leaves. But obviously, he's also just a dynamic player on both ends of the floor. I mean, this is a team, you know, made up of primarily freshmen, and those teams tend to not be very good defensively. Like, they tend to have some weaknesses. It's just harder to understand modern defensive concepts when you're 18 years old. You can play offense, no problem. It's a one-on-one type of thing sometimes, but defensively it's more difficult. And so, you know, he makes up for that by just the fact he's so quick and athletic and blocks shots and gets steals and gets his hands on balls. So even when the defense, you know, does something stupid, like they still end up, you know, doing positive things because of his presence. So I would guess the most important player of the last 10 years on any team.
Hey, Ken, is there anything you've noticed recently in your ratings that maybe point you in a certain direction as to tourney upsets, like a team, you know, that plays with a slower pace or shoots more threes or hits more threes at a higher clip? Is there something trend-wise that you see?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the three ball is important. Like, you know, it's definitely one path to an upset. You know, I would say just, like, being competent offensively in general is a good thing, you know, whether it's for upsets or just going deeper in the tournament. It seems like there's a little bit of a slight lean towards teams that, you know, have a better offense. Like if you're going to be sort of one dimensional in one way or the other, it's better to be great offensively and kind of average defensively than the other way around. Certainly we saw that last year, like Virginia, Cincinnati was another team in that mold as well. You know, two teams that had great regular seasons when they got in the tournament and kind of disappointed. And, again, it's not that it's impossible. You can find, you know, South Carolina getting the Final Four a couple of years ago as an example of a team that had a great defense and overcame that. But for the most part, like I'd rather hitch my wagon to a team that that has the ability to score a lot of points.
Ken Pomeroy of KenPom.com and The Athletic is with us. Ken, teams that are seeded 13 through 16, who's got the best chance to pull an upset, you think?
Well, I personally would go with UC Irvine. Okay. They open up against Kansas State. I mean, I'm a little biased here. I just haven't had a lot of confidence in Kansas State all season. And they're one of those teams I mentioned where great defense, ranked fourth in my system. Their offense is 102. So, you know, they're going to be in a low scoring close game. And that certainly should be the case against UC Irvine. It's a game that might not get out of the 50s. And UC Irvine's a team very experienced. You know, they've done this before as a program. This is Russell Turner's second trip to the tournament. So, you know, this is a team on a 16-game winning streak. I mean, they check a lot of the boxes as far as a team that should be able to hang into a game, and certainly against a team that's not going to run away from you offensively, the game should come down to the last couple of possessions.
Are there some teams that stand out to you as very over or under-seeded?
You know, the seeding worked out really well this year. Like, it's, you know, you go down my ratings and you'll see, like, the seeding correlates pretty well to my ratings. So it's a really unusual year in that respect. I would say one team that I am maybe concerned about as being overrated, maybe not overseeded, but, you know, trending in the wrong direction is Nevada. It's a team that, you know, was in the top 25 all year, in the top 10 most of the year, and they come into the tournament with four losses. So you think, you know, what's not to like about them? But they've really been kind of disappointing down the stretch. I mean, they lost, you know, three of their last eight games, you know, playing in the Mountain West, not, you know, super high-level competition there. And even the games they were winning against lesser teams were closer than you might think. So, you know, they open up with Florida, which is not, like, necessarily a juggernaut themselves. But Nevada's a team that I just cannot see going very far in this tournament.
You know, we had a chance here in Cleveland at the MAC tournament to see Buffalo, and they get a six seed. And you know, they've the last couple of years have been pretty good. Won a game last season in the first round. What are their chances to do anything in the tournament?
Yeah, I think they're pretty decent. You know, they have that kind of interesting first round matchup potentially against Arizona State. So, yeah, you know, playing their old coach could be kind of intriguing. But, you know, they'll be a decent favorite in that game. And then if they draw Texas Tech in the second round, you know, that's another one of those teams. You know, great defense, so-so offense. I do think Chris Beard is a pretty incredible coach. So, if anybody can win with that kind of template, it's him, and he won with it last year getting to the Elite Eight. So certainly it's possible. But, you know, those first two matchups, I think, are matchups certainly that Buffalo and first one should win. The second one should certainly be competitive in. And, you know, if they get Michigan in the Sweet 16, like, that's a winnable game as well. But, yeah, Buffalo's the real deal, no question. I mean, the best team the MAC has fielded, you know, maybe since, Kent State in 2002, something like that.
Did you just assume Arizona State's going to beat St. John's?
No, it's not. It's definitely not a safe assumption. I mean, even though I just, you know, ragged on St. John's,
yeah,
Arizona State is, you know, no excellent team themselves. And obviously, you know, we've seen teams, you know, they're the last ones in and they end up winning a couple games. So certainly St. John's could to win that game, but I would have to pick Arizona State.
So, Ken, you said you thought seven teams could win it. Who do you think will it when it's all said and done?
Well, I mean, if I was playing this for like a year's worth of salary, I'd have to pick Duke. I mean, I think at their best, they're the best team in the country. They, you know, have the one notable weakness where they're just a really poor three-point shooting team. But other than that, they're pretty solid. So that's the team you go with. Where they can have problems, again, three-point shooting, and also maybe Zion Williamson gets hurt. Like, if that happens, then they're in trouble. So definitely not the team I'm rooting for, not a team I want to win. But if I had to pick them, I would go with them. I will say, like, Virginia and Gonzaga are, like, way more intriguing stories to me. You know, Virginia potentially, you know, losing to a 16 seed, then coming back and winning a national title would just be an unbelievable story. And obviously, Gonzaga, you know, coming out of the conference that they play in, which is, you know, a conference that was improved, but still pretty weak by power conference standards. For them to, you know, be a national title threat, I think would be amazing as well. But I do think Duke's like the most well-suited to win a title.
You know, Iowa State's hot here at the end of the season, and they play our Buckeyes on Friday night, late night, 9:50 Eastern tip-off. You know, Ohio State disappointing down the stretch with the Wesson suspension and how they finished. Do the Buckeyes have a chance?
Yeah, they have a chance. You know, Iowa State, such a weird team. Lost, yeah, you know, six of their last eight in the regular season. And there were reports of, like, you know, all this, you know, physical confrontation, basically, or verbal confrontations, at least in practice. And then all of a sudden they get in the Big 12 tournament and they win it. And then now everything's hunky-dory, allegedly. But, yeah, pretty wild team. I mean, I at their best, Iowa State's really explosive and a really fun team to watch. I do give, you know, Ohio State some credit. I mean, obviously, Caleb Wesson, you know, is very important to them. And so, you know, they're probably better than they've shown, you know, down the stretch. But, yeah, I mean, and Chris Holt's a solid coach as well. So, you know, even though you look at the overall numbers and, you know, they haven't been impressive offensively and the defense has been good but not great, and clearly on both sides of the ball they're, you know, maybe not quite as good as Iowa State is. I do give them a chance, but they're clearly the underdog in that game.
Well, it all gets started, the play-in games, or whatever they're calling it now, the first round tomorrow, and we'll look forward to all the action Thursday and Friday. Ken, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.